You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 64th percentile of trusting the process. I mean, there's pluses and minuses to every approach. That's all I'm saying. I'm your host, James Marcina, a.k.a. I bomb Romanically Sessions, a.k.a. Charles Toakley. And this is episode 214. On today's show, I'm going to recap the Knicks' loss to the Portland Trail Blazers, dropping them to 0-3 over their past three games. Oh, no. Mamma mia. Oh, maron. I'm going to contextualize that three-game losing streak before even talk about whether or not I'm super worried. Then I'm going to look ahead to see if the Knicks can avoid a season-defining morass. All right, let's start the show.
Yes!
First of all, I want to apologize for going full Gavone, going full Guinea in the intro there. I don't know. When I get upset, my inner Strong Islander starts coming out. I was born on Strong Island. I don't know if I've mentioned that on the podcast yet. It's not something I'm proud of, all right? We all got to come from somewhere, though. And I crawled out of that primordial ooze to Jersey, another well-respected area of America. Anyway, let's talk about the Knicks versus the Blazers, the Knicks' third loss in a row. In honor of this three-game losing streak, I'm going to present you guys with three themes from each quarter of this loss. First quarter, first theme. The theme is a sloppy start for both teams, but the Knicks hanging tough. They were actually tied 22-22 late in the first quarter. Part of that was that both teams couldn't get it going. We had some turnovers. We had some missed shots. The Knicks were in it, but you might think it was one of those Knicks are only in it because the other team is playing like doo-doo scenarios. At the same time, I thought I saw a bunch of good defensive possessions, but maybe I was hallucinating? I don't know. Like, I could have sworn I saw KP in space against McCollum defend well, keep him in front of him using his length. I could have sworn I saw Hardaway fighting over some screens with zeal and switching with authority when he's unable to. One of the key things to dealing with the screen is knowing when you're beat and calling for the switch. I thought he did a good job at that. Part of what I saw was Jack pushing the pace really well, Jarrett Jack. He had a number of one-armed, like, half-court whip passes, just, like, using his whole body's momentum to chuck the ball up the court with surprising accuracy. One random thing I noticed about Jack in this first quarter, by the way, this is, like, a bonus take. He has resting high face. Like, he just looks schmizzacked as he surveys the scene. You know that, like, it's like your eyes can't open, but you're trying to open them all the way wide? He's got that, like, I wish you could see the face I'm doing, because I'm doing a perfect imitation of Jarrett Jack right now. But first theme, sloppy start for both teams, but the Knicks hanging tough. The Knicks are hanging tough despite, I would say, KP, who was the high scorer for the Knicks tonight, I believe. Is that right? Let me take a look. 22 points. Yeah, he had 22 points, high score for the Knicks. But I thought he looked just kind of out of it, starting in the first quarter. And I thought he looked healthy, and I tweeted as such. But then listener Ricardo Albuquerque tweeted back at me. He said his back's still no good. You can tell he's not getting low. His lateral movement's poor. His handle is too high, getting stripped. And he's lacking strength inside. And I was like, huh, maybe you're right. And the more I thought about it, I do think that might be what's going on here in this game specifically. KP had three turnovers. He got smarter as the game went on and stopped turning it over. But he did look like he was having trouble inside dealing with Portland's quote-unquote strength. I don't think these guys are particularly strong. I don't know, maybe I have the wrong read on them. I don't see them as like a particularly strong interior team, although they've got some beef down there. But it's the kind of players who I think KP could handle, but he didn't look like he was handling them well tonight. That being said, I think even if that's true, he's still kind of taking some poor shots. He just looks out of rhythm. He wasn't getting foul calls early, but it was almost like he was assuming they would bail him out. Like I said, he had 22 points on 16 shots. So, like, you're looking at that and it seems okay. But I don't know. He was 2 of 6 from downtown, but those two shots, those two threes were early. And then he just kept chucking, like, out of rhythm. He did eventually get to the line a bunch. I'll give him that. He went 8 for 9 from the line. Like I said, he had 3 turnovers. But even though he was the top scorer on the night, he was minus 14, which was tied for the worst plus-minus with Courtney Lee. Hardaway, interestingly, more on him in a bit, was the only starter with a positive plus-minus at plus 6. So yeah, and you saw it in the first quarter, KP just looks not quite himself. I think he's probably, you know, struggling with these injuries. I don't think they're super serious, but he's a little bit off, and then when you're a little bit off, you start to force things, not make great decisions. I think we're seeing some of that from KP right now. I just hope he gets healthy soon and starts looking like himself. Third theme from the first quarter. We still in the first quarter. Woo-hoo! They won't all be this long. A young unit got in at the end, and everyone was really pumped, I think, in Knicks land to see this young unit in here, but they kind of let it slip away. It was Frank at point guard, Dotson at the two, Doug McBuckets at the three, and then KP at the 4, Billy at the 5, first quarter. Almost immediately, KP had a turnover trying to dribble through traffic. There was a missed 3 from Frank Ntilikina. There was a turnover on like a Billy pass to KP in the post that was like too ambitious with the guy draped all over KP. KP couldn't fend him off, maybe because his back's hurting a little bit. So those were offensive miscues, but the defense also really shit the bed at the end. You know, like I said, it was tied 22-22 late. And then the Knicks, I think, got one more point on the quarter, but the Blazers zoomed out to 30 in a hurry. And the Knicks were down 7 after 1. Part of this streak when the young guys came in is that Lillard, I wrote down in my notes, Lillard tough to deal with, which no shit, Sherlock, but he really started kind of putting on a show late in the first quarter. Unsurprisingly, Jack couldn't deal with him, and Frank didn't do much better at first, I'm afraid. I have one bonus take for the first quarter. This happened at one point during the first quarter. The Knicks gave up 2 offensive rebounds in one possession, and I think that's one of the uniquely... Like, nothing is more infuriating than giving up 2 or more offensive rebounds to the opposition in one possession. It can really suck the soul right out of you. Right out your beehole. It's like a demon sucking your soul right out of your bee. And I'm wondering if we've been underestimating the sunning power of the offensive rebound. You know, maybe that's what's given the Knicks the power of the sun at home. You know, this home game, they didn't get it done, but they have something like 6 double-digit victories at home. So that's quite a bit of sunning, and I wonder if that's Enes Kanter, you know, really adding that sunning dimension. Drink if you're playing the Locked On Knicks drinking game. Man, that's a bunch of sunnings right in a row. But yeah, giving up 2 offensive rebounds in one possession, that's just a killer. You just want to go home right there. All right, let's talk about the third quarter. Sorry, second quarter. Jumping ahead. Actually, you know what? I'm going to tell you all about the second and the third and the fourth quarter. But first, I just want to remind you, you're listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you see, head on over to iTunes and rate us 5 stars. We'd really appreciate it. Locked On Knicks. Let's talk about the second quarter. 3 themes. First theme, things got out of hand almost immediately. Knicks went down by 16, like at the jump, still with this youngish lineup in. They might have subbed in one guy, but it was still a very young lineup. Hernan Gomez not doing himself any favors during the stretch. Theme one, immediately letting things get out of hand. Theme two, I think this calls for a shofar. Let's do it. Joakim Noah gets his first minutes of the season. On his first defensive possession, he gets a block. Then he sets some strong picks. I forgot what a good pick looked like with KP out there just throwing some shade. Come on, KP. You got to set some stronger picks. Sorry. I mean, you're doing an amazing job. You're 22. I need to remind myself. You're unbelievable. You could improve your picks. That's all I'm saying. And Noah actually looked solid on defense. He was clearly hyped up. He was screaming. He was doing his fan hands, his Edward Scissor fan hands when he runs. Good for him, I guess. Good for Joakim Noah. Third theme of the second quarter, the offense sputters, which is really a microcosm for the whole game. During this stretch, Jarrett Jack, who had played a decent offensive first quarter, even though he couldn't stop Lillard, he had two dumb turnovers in a row. Someone snuck from behind him while he was dribbling up court, like kind of nonchalantly. One of the few possessions he dribbled nonchalantly up the court. And it was one of those ones where Clyde's like, look behind you, man! It's one of Clyde's pet peeves. And we talked about the secret sunning of multiple offensive rebounds. The steal from behind, when you're just kind of like lazily jogging with the ball, that's like not like a vicious sunning, but it's on the sunning spectrum. It's on the spectrum. So the Knicks got a little sun there. And then Jarrett Jack threw a bad outlet pass. You know, he was being aggressive in the first quarter. It was working out. It started to bite him in the butt a little bit, a little too aggressive in the second. The Knicks scored only 14 points in the second quarter after a not that great 23 in the first. For the game, they would finish with a 42.6 effective field goal percentage. Good for 8th percentile of all games played. So Kristaps was looking off, but everyone was looking off. No one was shooting well. And I got to give them credit, Portland. Their defense was aggressive. Knicks had trouble finishing at the rim. Portland bigs did a good job, not just harassing Porzingis, but intimidating the few Knicks who would try to go to the rim. And the Knicks were also forced into a ton of mid-range looks, which they shot horribly on. A couple of those from Porzingis. 15% of the Knicks' shots were threes, which was first percentile for all games played this season. Not shooting nearly enough threes. They shot the same percentage as the Blazers, actually. A not great 34%, but they took six less three-point shots than them. So those are my three themes for the second quarter. Bonus theme, not really a theme, but a bonus incident, which happened. Hardaway took a vicious charge from Nurkic with his stupid cupping marks. You know that therapy where they put like a suction cup on you and it turns your body like polka dot red? It's supposed to bring blood to like parts of your body that need blood. And I just, this is where my like irrational fan hate comes in. I automatically hate anyone who has those stupid cupping marks. Like, I completely understand the willingness to do anything to get healthy, especially if you're a pro athlete. But if you have that, you look stupid and I hate you. First half, you know, the Knicks shot 38.4%. So they finished 42.6%. There was a fake comeback in the fourth, which we'll get to. But the first half, just doo-doo butter from the field. And nine turnovers. Just way too many turnovers. They actually tightened that up in the second half, which is partially why they were able to make a little bit of a comeback. They only had four second-half turnovers. So, but the first half was all the classic bad Knicks things from this year. Terrible shooting, bad turnovers. Third quarter, three things, three themes from the third quarter. First theme is just vomit. The game just entered solid vomit territory. The lead got pushed to 26 at one point. I wrote in my notes, quote, nothing matters. Which, you know, I don't really think. Sometimes I think nothing matters, but it just got to that point. You know, part of that, Connaughton, that little shit, was running wild over the Knicks in this quarter. He had 10 points. Including two backdoor cuts where the Knicks fell asleep and two three-pointers. On the backdoor cuts, he was being fronted in both instances. So I'm not like 100% sure if he should have been fronted, if that was a mistake, or if it was a lazy help defense. But I suspect it was, I mean, maybe not lazy, but like unaware help defense. Whoever should have known, like maybe Courtney Lee, who fronted him on one of those, was supposed to call it out. I'm not sure exactly what was going on there. But it was, you know, part of the vomitorium. Was this idiot Connaughton getting 10 points? There was a missed layup from Hardaway. There was a grotesque brick from Hardaway where it hit like the far iron and like thudded. It just sounded gross. There were a number of grotesque bricks from the Knicks, all Knicks tonight. Like not just missed shots, but they were front rimming it a lot. Clyde brought it up at one point. I wonder if they were out partying. What's going on? We had our first real, like, boo bird scenario of the season. The Knicks have been really good at home, but they started trickling out at about 3:30 left in the third quarter, and then Clyde dubbed them cascading boos. They were being showered with boos at the end of the third quarter, and the Knicks went down 90-64. As if that wasn't enough, I was openly pining for Joakim Noah during this time, partially because he looked good. Also partially because Nurkic was beasting all over O'Quinn. O'Quinn could not handle his size. Second theme from the third quarter is weird rotations. Weird rotations this game. Ramon Sessions came in and was the 12th Knick to see court time. The only Knick who had not come in at this point was Michael Beasley, who had scored 30 points in the last game. Now, I hated the way he played the second half of that last game. He had a number of weird, like, lazy-looking rebound attempts and just this generally nonchalant body language, which I feel like is him trying to be like, it comes so natural to me, but it just looks stupid from the outside. But even given that, it's odd to completely bench someone like that after giving them so much burn. You know, even with, like, the injuries and you're playing him and start a Kristaps or whatever. That being said, Beasley got in with 2:23 left in the quarter, and all 13 Knicks who dressed had played before the third quarter had ended. Other weird rotation decisions, there was no Dotson after getting him first quarter minutes. Not sure why he would come in early and then not for the rest of the game. I didn't see what he did. That was, like, so terrible. And at this point, Frank hadn't returned either, which was just a little odd after he got those early minutes. Third theme of the third quarter is just Lillard getting whatever he wants. I took a look at him in pre-games, and he had this kind of funny face during, like, player intros or the anthem. And I was like, is that jitters, or is that, like, I'm going to sun the living shit out of these guys? Turns out it was the latter. He just sunned the Knicks left and right throughout the third quarter. And part of that is that the point guard options at this point just are not very good. Jarrett Jack can sometimes run the offense very well, but he cannot play D. Ramon Sessions just looks awful. He didn't look good in his minutes today. And Frank, who will be fine, for the most part, looks mad hesitant. So they just have no one who can deal with the likes of Lillard if Frank especially is a little bit out of sorts and not able to play defense as well as we know he can play defense, right? A little, like, pre-theme for the fourth quarter is Tim started to heat up just a little bit. I want to talk to you guys about the fourth quarter. Then I want to contextualize this loss within the past three losses and talk about whether or not I think the Knicks can avoid a season-defining morass and or losing streak, you may want to call it. But first, just want to remind you guys that you're listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We got a podcast for every team in the NBA, and they're all great. Just the other day, the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, they predicted the day before Fizdale got fired that he would get fired, that their head coach would get fired. That's coming from the Locked On Podcast Network. Check out the Locked On Grizzlies podcast if you're interested in that team. All right, let's talk about the fourth quarter. My three themes is really just one theme because this is like the Knicksiest theme of all of the past two decades, the fake comeback. Let me take you through it. Fourth quarter opens with a couple of decent-looking Beasley buckets. All right. Maybe he shouldn't have been benched until late in the third. I don't know. I'm not going to fault Hornacek too much for not relying on Beasley. But it was odd that they played everyone, including Sessions, and not Beasley, who had just scored 30 points. Anyway. But then right after that, Hardaway misses a fast break layup. The Knicks get a rebound. Joy! But then he misses a three. Ntilikina finally hits a J. Nice! But the Knicks are still down by a lot. And at this point, the Spirit Squad comes out, shooting their t-shirt cannon shit. And nothing's like more dispiriting during a blowout loss than the home team being like, yay, hooray, let's go, let's do it. Oh my God, Spirit, Spirit, we have the Spirit. And I basically lost all hope. They sucked it out of me, right out of my B. They were a demon that sucked the hope right out of my B hole. But then the Knicks turned it on. Their defensive intensity turned up a couple of notches. They forced a 24-second violation. The Blazers didn't score for the first 5 minutes of the quarter. And I was like, ah! But then Beasley, who had opened the quarter with a couple of nice buckets, had like this dickhead long two with the Knicks down 14. Because they were down by as much as 26. They're like really, you know, marauding at this point, you might say. And, like, you could see Beasley just wanted to be part of it. I was like, he's going to shoot. He's going to shoot. And he shot a long two, and he missed it. But then Ntilikina hit a two. Blazers still don't score. And it pulls the Knicks within 12. A little later on, he shoots a three. The Garden would have exploded. It would have pulled Knicks within nine. Getting under that 10 mark is, like, really psychologically important. But he missed it. I will say, though, I like that Frank has no hesitation in fourth quarters. Part of his struggles the past few games is he's been wildly hesitant. But in fourth quarters, he just steps into these shots and takes them. Billy Hernan Gomez, who had very bad defense to start the game, had very good defense in the fourth quarter. Breen and Clyde called it out. They saw it, too. And the Knicks, they're sticking around. But then Hardaway misses two free throws. Billy misses the putback layup. Then there's this weird play where Beasley and Ntilikina get teed up because Beasley got in a shoving match with stupid cupping scars Nurkic. He's an asshole. I can see why they didn't want him in Denver. He's a jerk off. But Beasley got a tee because he like Beasley'd it up, you know. And then Ntilikina ran over and was kind of shoving to peacemake and anything like that. I don't know if I agreed with it, but whatever. You're like not supposed to stick your nose in fights when they happen. Interestingly enough, while the Knicks were coming back this whole time, during the fake comeback, Kristaps did not come in until around the 4-minute mark. Hornacek sticking with the bench, who brought the guys back. Can't fault him for that. The Knicks are down 10 late. Frank takes a wide open three at the top of the arc, kind of in transition, and he misses it. And that's kind of the game right there. The Knicks stick around. They make it sort of interesting with some fouls or whatever, but they lose the game. What was the final score? Excuse me, this is an instant pod. 103-91. Portland only scores 13 fourth quarter points. But the Knicks, you know, when you let yourself get down by a quarter's worth of points, it's tough to come back from it. 13 actually doesn't adequately express how bad Portland looked. They didn't hit a field goal. They had like a couple of foul shots, but they didn't hit a field goal until there was like 3 or 4 minutes left in the game or left in the quarter. So once again, the Knicks with their best defensive quarter in the fourth quarter, this time against some scrubs. You know, Stotts didn't want to put back in his starter, so there's a little bit of a caveat there. But, you know, they closed strong. Maybe this can carry over into the next game. Speaking of next games, let's put this in context. Let's put this loss in context of the Knicks season and see if we can make some sense out of what's going on. So a couple of games ago, after the last podcast I recorded, the Knicks had that historic quarter against the Raptors. The team which had embarrassed them in their previous meeting got sunned all the way to death and then like a couple graves deep into the ground by the Knicks in a quarter the likes of which the league rarely sees. The last time someone got sunned that hard was in 2009 by the Cavs in one quarter, which just illustrated the stark difference between the Knicks home versus away. And that leads to a lot of... you know, because the way they struggle so much against the Raptors and then historically sun them at home. And people just keep using this home-away split as like an apocalyptic scenario. But I say, why are the Knicks destined to suck away for the rest of the season? Why are they going to stay terrible away? I reject that narrative as false. I think they can draw on the confidence that they get from playing at home. You know, they didn't win this game, obviously, but they are experiencing success at home. It's not like they don't have an example of what works and what doesn't. So I think they can get better on the road. They can't get much worse, honestly. So if they can tick up a little bit on the road, they could be in better position there than a lot of people think. I don't know. But they beat that Raptors team who, you know, they maybe shouldn't get like sunned to death by every time they play them, but you don't expect them to win. So that's money in the bank right there if you're talking about the Knicks season and their win-loss record. Now, that was followed by a humiliating defeat to the Atlanta Hawks, a terrible team. They had money in the bank with the Raptors win. All that money in the bank is gone, losing to the Hawks. Then they have an annoying defeat to the Houston Rockets, mostly because they went up by a bajillion points in the first quarter. They had the huge collapse, quote-unquote. I mean, but part of that was Beasley playing out of his mind. You knew they weren't going to sustain it the entire game. And KP and Kanter weren't playing. So, money in the bank perspective, they go up with the Raptors victory and the historic Sunday, and they go down with the Atlanta Hawks loss. But then they're even with the Houston loss because they're expected to do that. They're not expected to win that game. Now, I'm not worried about a random humiliating loss to Atlanta. A 500-ish team, which I think the Knicks are, shit like that's going to happen. And I'm not worried about the annoying loss to Houston, minus their MVP candidate in Kristaps, and minus Enes Kanterstop, Enes Wonderstop, who's been huge for them. Really, it's only the Atlanta game that, like, sucks here, especially with Kristaps not looking like himself. So now you're looking for, you know, basically what I'm trying to say is these three games, you got one anomaly in Atlanta, that's going to happen. The loss to the Rockets, that's definitely going to happen. And then you've got this third loss to the Blazers, which it was too bad that the Knicks got themselves out of it by going 26 points down, enabling only a fake comeback at best. But it's not shameful to lose to the Blazers at home. So if you're looking to see if like the Knicks are going to collapse, if they're not really a 500 team, if they stink, let's look ahead now, right? They face the Heat at home on Wednesday. Now, the Heat are interesting because overall in the season, they're not doing that great, but they're coming in hot. They beat the Celtics recently. They snapped that obnoxiously long winning streak that the Celtics had, 16 games, whatever it was. Then they beat the Timberwolves, who have been playing well this year. So, you know, this is a big one, especially with the Knicks sitting at 500. They're 10-10. You know they don't want to go under 500 against the Heat. So let's see if they fight against the Heat or if they go down by like 15 in the first quarter. This game could go a long way towards showing what kind of season we'll have. Kanter will be back, allegedly. Kristaps will hopefully snap out of it, feel a little bit healthier. But here's a radical idea that I like to put out there. Even if they lose to the Heat, they'll be one game under 500. That's still in the 500-ish range on the season. And then they're home against the Magic on Sunday. Then they're away against the Pacers. And then they're home again against the reeling Grizzlies post-coach firing, which we talked about very briefly while plugging Locked On Grizzlies. So these are all winnable games coming up. A 500-ish team, they might go under 500, but then when they play shit teams, they should be able to reel off a couple of wins. So it's a long-ass season. Let's not get too high. Let's not get too low. Like the captain, respect Derek Jeter. Captain Intangibles. The Knicks are going to be all over the place. You just want to look out for like that losing 8 games and 9 games kind of vibe that really defines the season. But they're going to have bad wins. Well, they'll have some sloppy wins. They're going to have bad losses like they will against the Hawks. But then they'll have good wins like they did against the Raptors. They got a couple of those this season. They beat a Jazz team who's like looking pretty decent recently. So let's not panic. Let's not freak out. If you don't want the Knicks to be 500-ish and you want them to tank, maybe you should panic. But for those of us who want to see the Knicks establish a winning culture, I don't think we have to panic. And furthermore, I think a lot of what's going on here is injury. I don't think that's too problematic a take, with Kanter and KP both being nicked up. And if you're worried about like Kristaps thinking nothing good can happen here, I think he's already seen that good things can happen here when they're healthy. So they're accomplishing stuff, even if they now kind of like crumble a little bit with a couple of, you know, untimely losses while the team is ailing, while Frank's struggling. So I think things are going all right. They're not going great, but they're going all right. All right? All right? All right. That's it for today's episode of Locked On Knicks. I want to thank you guys so much for listening. If you like what you hear, please rate us 5 stars on iTunes. And why don't you follow us on Twitter? At Locked On Knicks, bonus takes and conversations in between the podsodes. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Knicks. Peace.